Go Loud presents Murder Most Irish. Find it first on the Go Loud app and on all major podcast platforms.
Turn this up because I can't hear myself at all.
That's because you're deaf. It's up to the top. I can hear it.
And no, it's not up to the top because I just moved it.
Oh, fuck you.
Get out! Leave
get
my wife alone.
Fuck you! Heroin. So people do that. I was watching this. I can't remember what I was watching. It was something on YouTube. I don't remember what it was called. Anyway, this guy that was being interviewed and he was like...
Soft white underbelly.
That's it. I don't watch it anymore because it's very problematic. But he was microdosing heroin.
Yeah.
So he was like...
Philip Seymour Hoffman was microdosing heroin.
It's crazy. Like going to work every day and being like, I take a break at 2 to take heroin.
Yeah.
And I don't fully understand that. Drugs or anything. I don't know how that works. But isn't heroin like... Aren't you like out? Aren't you like...
It's an opiate.
Does it depend on how much you take?
It depends on the dose.
I suppose.
And if you take like a full dose, then you're obviously... It's supposed to be like a warm hug. It's supposed to feel like your body is like... being just like the most
like all the bad things disappear
and just like this warm glowy hug
and,
and
life is like I remember Harris Whittles, is that his name? Apologies if I've gotten his name wrong. Anyway, he's a writer for Parks and Recreation and his sister has a podcast.
Oh yeah, he had a fucking
he passed away from a heroin overdose and he was so young. But he said that the first time he took heroin, it was like he's having a million orgasms. Is the only way he could describe it. And he was like, people say heroin is so addictive. He was like, it was beyond addictive. He was like, this is how I'm going to live now. Like immediately.
Yeah. And I do think like, obviously there's other people that take heroin and they don't, because it's just a chemical reaction.
Yeah. I suppose that there's obviously something in your brain where it's like.
And trauma.
Yeah, and you need the serotonin or you need the dopamine fix. That's going to like trigger the shit out of that. And you're going to be immediately. So one of the reasons I never did drugs, never, ever did drugs, because I don't have a lot of dopamine and serotonin in my body. Hence why I have depression. Hence why the drug that I'm on works the way it works.
Yeah.
And I always.
You're still a miserable cunt.
I am a miserable cunt, but like, I'm not dead. I'm not in the ground. Yes, but no, I think that like the reason I never wanted to do drugs is because in my brain I was always like, oh, if I do anything that makes me feel better,
you'll keep doing it.
I'm going to be chasing that dragon.
Yeah.
For the rest of my life, because like even the SSRI I'm on, it doesn't make me happy. It just makes me
level out.
It doesn't make me feel like I'm going to like walk out in front of a train. That's what that
I also think sometimes it makes you feel. Because sometimes when your depression is really bad, you just don't feel
I don't feel anything.
Like
it's a numbness.
Yeah. And a heated rivalry, we have them to thank for the awakening.
Let me tell you something. When I logged on to my phone on Sunday morning, maybe Saturday, Sunday morning, and I saw those two boys walking around Toronto, God is good. And things are getting. Hey, everybody, don't kill yourself yet. Just don't kill yourself.
Heated rivalry season 2 is coming.
They're filming. I don't know when, apparently now maybe, I don't know, but it's coming back next year. Suspend suicide until next year. Let's all not kill ourselves. Also, Hudson Williams is getting chubby, and I'm into it. But he's not getting chubby, he's doing that thing, you know, where they bulk.
They get gains.
And then they cut.
Get gains! Yeah.
Which is,
get on the wits!
How do they do that to their bodies? Like, they gain, they get chunky, and then they just, like, crop.
Yeah.
How do you have?
Because your body just goes into like, their it's body is crazy. Into a state of like ketosis.
He looks like he's pregnant at the moment and I am so into it.
You
like I wasn't
dude.
Into him before this at all.
Yeah.
And I've seen him with that belly and I was like, Jesus Christ. Lord, I see what you've done for others. Do unto me what you've done to others. But yeah, he's got like a belly.
All things through him.
But he's got like a belly, but you know, he's got abs under that belly. Like it's a weird thing that people are able to like, bulk that much and then just cut it.
I think it's coke blow as well. No, no.
Allegedly. But yeah, don't kill yourself until next year. Heat rivalry is back.
I never did drugs because he just didn't seem that far away.
That makes... the glamour of it was ruined. Because a lot of people start drugs because there's like this... there's like this glamour element where you're like, oh my God, I'm going to do this illicit substance. But you were like, it's Tuesday.
Yeah, and it's like, Tuesday, you know what I mean? And...
I'm trying to do my maths homework.
Mam's on speed.
Yeah. Mam's cleaning the windows at 2 a.m. Like, maybe I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that element of like...
Yeah, it just wasn't...
What
it,
oh, the mystery of what would happen was taken out of it for you.
I just was like, oh, that seems...
Hey, if you're a parent, do drugs. Your kids don't do drugs. That's my psychology lesson for today. But yeah, no, it...
No, I'm an anomaly. That's not
how
it works.
You are an anomaly, yeah. But it is crazy because that is obviously...
Yeah, no, I remember being at school and people being like... You know, when we were teenagers and people being like... Rebelling. And I was like, why?
Yeah.
What are you rebelling against?
What are you rebelling against?
And I was like, it's pointless in my house.
Yeah, because
my parents were
rebelling.
Yeah.
So you were
Sarah,
just...
Are you... Like, it was a running joke in my family home where they were like, Sarah's adopted. Like...
God, now that you've said that, that makes so much sense. The allure was gone.
Everybody was in my house out of mind on a Wednesday night and I was going to fucking school.
And isn't it weird that it could have went a whole other way?
Yeah, like it is, well, apparently psychologically, psychology-wise, therapy-wise, it is just one or the other.
Yeah, you either go into it or you push away. Like, all my sisters and I, we've never done drugs and we don't really drink because we can't, drugs weren't a thing, but alcohol was. Yeah. So, but that, like, I remember my therapist being like, there's four of you. That's a miracle.
Yeah.
She's like, that none of you are like that. Yeah. Like, that's a small miracle. But yeah, like, that's crazy now that you've said, I never thought about it like that before.
Yeah, I was just like, heroin.
You're like, oh, I don't care about this.
Yeah, I remember.
And you've seen it.
Yeah, I was just like, oh.
Sarah looks like a Grecian goddess today.
Oh, thanks.
She looks so beautiful.
I was like, it just doesn't end well. There was no glamour to it. And there was nothing to rebel against. I was like, if I want... No, I think probably it would have been different, but given that my sister had been sick.
Yeah.
But before my sister, they had this like weird belief of like, you've got to learn to make your own mistakes, man.
Yeah.
Like.
That doesn't end very
well. Like, I was hanging around with the Grateful Dead. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, fucking.
Like, yeah, that's not, I don't think that's. Like, there's making your own mistakes being like, I told you not to go down the road with no brakes on your bike. And then there's making mistakes being like, hey, don't smoke crack.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they're two different mistakes.
Like,
it's making mistakes being like, don't skip school. And then it's making mistakes being like, don't shoot heroin into your eyeballs.
Yeah. It's weird. Like, yeah, I just remember being like in secondary school and being like, what are y'all rebelling against? If I went home today and was like, hey, could I, not on like a fucking Tuesday night, like my mom wouldn't be like, here's a vodka. But if I was like on a Saturday, could I try
a
drink?
Did you ever have a part of your brain that was like, you also didn't want to cause any more upset in your household?
Well, that was just my entire childhood.
Yeah,
upset.
Me too.
My entire childhood was just like, I can't add any more to this. And also, because Sarah's going to therapy, my mom made me personally responsible for things. So I was personally responsible for contributing to my household. And contributing to the like emotional labor of my house.
Yes.
So yeah, I knew, like I was saying to my therapist today, when I was like nine, I used to go to post office and pay the bills.
Yeah.
And she used to write down how much money.
To give off each one?
No, she used to write how much money she had. And then she put like ESB, you know,
phone bill,
like whatever, rent, and each amount. And then she put the total amount that she should have. Now, part of that is because she is giving me all of this money to go and pay these things. But then what that made me aware of as a kid is how little money we had left.
Yeah.
It also, because I was going to pay all the bills, I knew what bills we weren't paying.
Yeah.
And because I was able to read, I knew what bills were like, you're overdue or this is
unpaid.
Then
you immediately had that on your head.
So I knew that we had very little money and that we weren't paying all of our bills. So then I wasn't going to in any way contribute any further. And that's not to say that I was like a great kid and I but I wouldn't ask for things and I wouldn't question things and I wouldn't, like, there was like an unfairness or an inequality and I would know, like, it would make me really sad, but I wouldn't verbalize it. I wouldn't want to, like, fight about it. I wouldn't want to, because
retreated.
But also because I knew that there was no way to fix it.
Yeah.
There was no money to fix the problem.
And, like, why didn't she just do the bills? Why didn't she go down herself? Like, why would she send her 8-year-old daughter to do that?
I think, like...
Was it a shame thing?
No, I think it's more that she was like, I have other things to do. Like, I've got... Like, you were always made aware that she was working. That she was doing...
She was on the struggle bus.
Yeah, that she was like, I have to go to work and your dad is still in bed.
Oh, God.
So, do you know what I mean? So it was always like, to make you also be responsible, you have to understand that she's not choosing to do this to you out of any other option.
Yeah.
She's a victim in this situation.
She's the martyr.
Yeah.
And then
so that also then for you, because you're not, like, as a kid, I don't want to go fucking pay these bills. No. I don't want to go to post office.
I want to tell my friends.
Yeah.
I think this is a very stark lesson and also not centering men.
Yeah. So do not, like, center men. You become, because she, deep down, she knows that that's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
So she has to reason it, right? And she has to make you feel like she's not doing this to you on purpose. This isn't like a malicious thing. She, like, so then the reason she's giving it to you is because she's got to go and do this other thing. And just to tell you why she's got to go and do this other thing and why she's not doing this. And so, yeah,
you're immediately like her confidant. You're immediately like...
Always. My sister wasn't around. My sister didn't live with us.
So you became that person.
So I became that person. And I think my sister would have became that person.
If she had been there.
If she had been there.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't think she knew any other way to parent.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean?
Was her mother like that?
No, but her mother... No.
No.
They had a very stable household and a very, like...
Two parents.
Who brings in the money.
Yeah.
But my mum's mum was sick. So I do think there was a massive burden and responsibility on my mother in terms of maybe not from a financial point of view, but she would clean and cook and, like, look after my grandmother because she had rheumatoid arthritis. Is it rheumatoid? Which is the one that's really debilitating.
Yeah, rheumatoid, I think.
Yeah. And they used to treat it with fucking morphine. Yeah. So, and she was, like, crippled. Like, she had, like, I think she had, like, a hip replacement or a knee replacement when she was really young. She died when she was 55 from a massive heart attack from, like, just being on so many drugs for so long.
So, yeah.
And my mum had to leave school, I think, when she was, like, 12. Which I don't think she had to. I think she chose to. And then I think it was like she looked after her mom.
But there you go. That epic in her head, that's what you do.
Yeah, no, she thinks...
when she had children, she was like, no, that's what you do, even though you're 8 years old.
And even though I'm not cooking, right? I'm not cooking and I'm not cleaning. So in her mind, because I'm not doing...
those things.
Yeah, she's a better parent.
I get you.
You know that kind of way?
So many people shouldn't have kids.
Man. I know, but it is that
no
thing.
Offense
you know
to your
that,
mother,
no,
I
but
mean,
you know,
just...
what's that movie? What's not that movie? It's that fucking Stranger Things TV show. No, not Stranger Things. Oh, Pedro Pascal in it. With the zombies.
Oh, The Last of Us?
Yeah, there's a scene, there's like a cutback in that story where he cuts back to him with his dad. And his dad's cutback story is that his dad was abusive.
Okay.
But his dad is like, I'm not as abusive as my dad.
Like that justifies.
Yeah. You know, and I'm not like by any means anything. Being like, my mum was abusive. But
no,
like,
no, I know you're not
I
saying
think
that.
It's just, yeah.
Was she a bit emotionally abusive?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Like 100%.
Call a spade a spade here.
Yeah. Like I am going through it in therapy.
I know
the
you
minute.
Are. I know you are. Yeah. I know. And it's tough. And the thing where when you start going to therapy and then they start the family stuff and you're immediately like, it's okay, it's fine. Like you immediately start fighting against it because deep down you know that's the thing.
Yeah, no, I didn't fight against it. Like when I went to therapy because of like, I was in this like loop of a relationship cycle, right? With like work.
Yeah.
And I was like, I need to break this. Like, this isn't healthy. I need to go and do something. And I've gone to therapy before, but Emma will tell you, I go for like 3 weeks and I'm like, I'm fixed. But this time Emma was like, Sarah, you have to, she sent me a text message.
And I was please, before she says this, this is not what I meant when I said it.
It's like so fair. I was like,
but that's not what I meant.
She said, you need extensive therapy.
But by extensive, I meant time-wise. You need to keep going. I didn't mean like you need six therapists in a room 4 days a week. I just meant time lengthwise, you need to keep going.
Yeah, no, that's you're all right. I meant. And no, so I did the like work thing, and that got really better, right? Really quick,
yeah.
Because I listened to her and I did the work, and I keep like when I'm in work and I recognize the triggers or whatever, I'm like, oh,
step back,
take yeah. a breath. And that has but she was like, okay, but like we have to, like this comes from somewhere else. Something else, like yeah. this isn't just, and so she was like, you know, talk to me about your childhood.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh god.
And then she started to laugh, and I was like, what? And she was like, how did this relationship start with work, Sarah? How have you started this therapy relationship with this like big problem of work? And then we get to here, and yeah. it's like,
these are the actual problems that we're facing.
And so. Yeah, I mean, I'm glad I'm doing it, and I don't feel like, last week's session, I sobbed my heart out. I wrote a thing, and then I had to read it out to her, and what's really odd is when I'm writing the things, I'm not upset.
Yeah, I think as well, it's because when you're writing it, you're like, I have to think of the things. So your brain is in that remembering.
Yeah.
Oh, that happened. But then when you're physically saying it to another person, it makes it very real.
Yeah, like it's so weird. It makes it
very
have,
like, oh, this happened. And yeah. I'm saying it to you.
Yeah.
And you're reacting to what I'm saying. And that also causes an effect as well. Do you know what I
yeah.
mean? Like someone's
yeah.
reaction to something like yeah. that. So I think that makes total sense that you're upset afterwards.
Yeah. Like. And then she was like, I need you to write a letter to your mother. And I just couldn't do it.
I know. It's tough. It's hard to do like, that, Sergeant.
As she did say to me today, she was like, because you've been conditioned. And the more I think about it, like, it's only a couple of hours. I do recognize, and I know me and you have spoken about it when we speak about, like, you know, when your mum goes into that place of, like, oh, I was a terrible mum. And you're sitting on the other side of the table and you're like, there's a part of your brain that goes,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like, but also.
But outwardly, you're like, no.
No, don't say that. I understand.
Here's
the thing, and I will always say this, and I've said this to you. A therapist said, not this therapist, my previous therapist said something to me that stuck with me for the longest time. She said, your mother is a person before she's your mother. She's a human being yeah. before she is your mother. And her behaviors do not get eradicated because she gave birth to you.
Yeah.
But it's very easy to say that, but it's incredibly difficult to implement it because immediately you're like, that's my mom.
Yeah.
That's my mom. So you, and obviously the other side of that is you writing these things down, there's a part of your brain going, I'm going to hurt her.
Well, no, I yeah. there is definitely, but I knew when I was writing it that I like was never going to read this to
no.
her. God. And I knew that wasn't the end goal.
No.
But I was doing this thing the whole time I was writing it, being like, what does this matter?
Because it does matter.
Yeah. And it wasn't that my brain was going, what does it matter, you big thick? It was going,
What am I going to gain from this?
Yeah, like, I was just like, this entire thing. Yeah, I was just like, you know, what does it matter? And then because I've been so like, when I put them all together, right, they display a real clear, obvious pattern. But in the moment when I was kidding, it would happen. If I brought it up and was like, hey, this, you know, and
this is upset me.
And not that I could verbalize it that way because you're a kid or you're a teenager and, you know, but if I tried to be like have a go about it, it would be trivialized.
Of course.
Do you know what I mean? Or the other thing that it would be that never happened.
The never happened thing? Dude, the first people to ever gaslight us are our parents.
My dad never gaslit me.
Your mom?
Yeah, my dad would be like,
yeah, it did happen.
Yeah. But
but also, your reaction to serious things sometimes is make jokes.
Yeah.
And your dad does that.
Yeah, yeah.
So you pick that up from him.
Yeah.
Like, you're not like making jokes, but you'll try and bring levity to something.
You know, because even...
Because you're like, I'm trying to fix this. How do I fix it? I'll make people laugh.
Yeah. So Graham said to me last week, because I came down and he was like, oh, are you okay? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, I was like, I just had to do something really hard. And he was like, what's really odd? He was like, is obviously you had like a really difficult session today. He was like, but he was like, I can hear you laughing. And I'm like, yeah, I do. Yeah. Like, and you know, even today I was saying to her, I was like, hey, how do you do this all day, every day?
I don't know how they do it.
You know, I'm just like, cause this is.
I don't know how they do it. Cause you know, they're also dealing people where, not to be bad, but they're dealing with people where it's like, come on.
Oh, 100%.
This is not a problem.
I'm sure. Like, within a year of doing this, she's going to be like, hey, write the fucking letter.
No, but I understand how difficult it is to. My mum did a thing a while ago, which was really difficult for her, and I know it was. It was during COVID. And she wrote me and my sisters a letter saying sorry and sent it to us. And I know how hard that was for her. Like, I know how difficult it was for her. But the fact that she was able to sit down and do that, like, it was astounding.
Yeah.
Like, none of us were expecting that. Like, you know, when I rang her and she was really upset and I was like, thank you for sending me this letter. I understand, you know, things happen. But the fact that she went, I'm sorry, I did these things. There's an acknowledgement that your mother needs to do, Sarah Jane.
But I'm never going, like, and I'm going to therapy with the point of view of like, I know I'm never getting that. So what do I do to like move forward? Like I said today in therapy, I was like, when I dream of winning the lotto, right? I don't. So, you know, sometimes when you're awake at night and you're like, can't go to sleep.
Yeah.
And you just like are thinking about like stupid shit. So sometimes I'd be like, what would I do if I won the lotto? And I was saying when I had to write this thing for the therapist, I had this point at the end of it where it was like, when I dream or like fantasize about winning the lotto, my fantasy is to still be responsible. Because the first thing I plan out in the lotto money is what I would give them all to make it better for them.
For your parents, you
mean? Yeah, like I'm like, I would do this and I would do this for my brother and he wouldn't have to live with them or my niece or like, I don't go, I'm going to get a plane. I'm going to buy a gold car.
I'm
going to
buy
a
house. I'm going to get all this stuff.
The first thing I do is that in my brain.
Yeah. But that's because you've been conditioned to do that.
Yeah. No, she was like, yeah, she was like, you're just fully conditioned. She was like, you have been conditioned to be responsible for all of these people.
Because 8-year-old Sarah walking down to the post office with something written on an envelope.
Yeah, yeah.
Is the same Sarah Jane now who's like, if things are wrong with them, I have to, this is my fault somehow.
And the reason why I said it is because I went to the house yesterday and all that was my dad was trying to figure out how to get to Glendalough.
Oh.
He has to go to a wedding.
Okay.
And I could feel myself, like it's on a Monday, I can't bring him. But I could feel myself in that kitchen being like, how do I fix this? How do I get them there? How do I, and then I was like, and they're not staying over. So then I was like, how do I get them home?
You don't get them home.
And I was like,
you don't get them
home. And I was like, there was two sides of my brain. And one side of my brain was like, hey, shut up. And the other side of my brain was like, this is your responsibility. Like,
so let me ask you this. If they can't get away to Glendalough on a way home from Glendalough, how does that affect you? Like, what will happen to you if that happens?
Nothing.
There you go.
Like, I feel guilty about it.
It's the guilt. That's the problem. The guilt
and even
the
other thing is that, like, I was saying today, my outside family put the burden on me. Not my sister or my brother. My mom's auntie. My mom's sisters and my dad's sisters. So, like, my dad's sisters said to me at the funeral we were at, like, you'll help. You, like, will you make sure they come to the wedding?
No.
And I was like, okay. Like,
no, Sarah Jane.
But like, and then it's the same on my mom's
fuck
side.
Off.
So like, both the entire, like, and I was, it was only as I started to go to therapy to be like, oh yeah, no, like this isn't
this is not your responsibility, Sarah Jane.
I know that, but I was like, this isn't just that. Like, it's like somehow they have
created this idea of what you should be doing.
And that my other, like my, like no one outside of my family is like, that's your kid. Like, that's not her job.
It's not your job.
Yeah. Now, I could be thinking that in a very different way because they could be like, it's just a wedding.
No.
I'm not recognizing, like, the wider problem.
But it's not just that, Sarah Jane. It's other things.
Yeah.
You immediately become the person that's like, ring Sarah Jane.
Yeah.
Ring Sarah Jane. Ring Sarah Jane.
Like,
anybody ringing Sarah Jane to see how she is?
Yeah, yeah, no.
Anybody ringing Sarah Jane to see if she needs anything?
Yeah.
emotionally or otherwise.
Yeah, because even the other day, yesterday when I was in the house, I had to go there because I have a blood pressure monitor belonging to me. And when I went, I had my kidney thing. And
how did that go, by the way?
Yeah, it's good. The doctor was like, the disease hasn't progressed any further, which is a good thing, but that my blood pressure medication is too high.
Okay,
so they're pretty good. So he was like, go get the monitor and see, because I was saying the other thing that's happening is when I'm sitting down for any length of time, I'm getting dizzy when I stand up. Which isn't abnormal. Okay. People can get up too quick and get dizzy. But it's prolonged.
Okay.
Like, I'm like, it's not, it's like, not usually like, oh, you can walk that off. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, I'm getting to, like, the door outside the building I'm in and I'm still dizzy. So I went to get the blood pressure monitor and I was sitting at the table with this blood pressure monitor on, trying to, like, get it to work. And the two of them were sitting on the other side of the table, unloading all of their problems on me, and I was like,
and your blood pressure monitor is like,
my blood pressure was 210.
Yeah, no. Oh. Sarah, these people are going to kill you by being in their presence.
And I just like, was like, I'm going to go. I have to go. I can't stay.
But
here.
I will say, I do, since I've met you and since I've gotten to know you in the years that we've been friends, I do notice that you are much more capable of walking away from it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like when we were, would have been younger when I knew you, and I was the same with my ma. There was a tendency to be like, oh, I just have to do this. I can't. Like, but now you do have to be like, no.
I don't go to the house as often. That's it. Like I'm not, saying yeah. to the therapist, I think after, because the diet, the information with the kidney specialist was positive. But at the end of the appointment, he talked about the long-term prognosis of the disease because it wasn't my normal doctor. And he was really interested in this disease that I have.
Oh,
which always so happens when I meet a new doctor, okay. because it's not, this disease isn't particularly common. So I was asking him, I said, is there cases where the disease never progresses? It just stays stable. And he was like, no.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, okay. So yeah.
Thumbs up.
And I was like, okay, he's like, however, he was like, there's cases where the like the worsening prognosis is longer. He was like, it takes a really long time to get there. And he was like, and you're showing all the symptoms of it being that. And I was like, okay. And I was like, so, and then he was like, do you want to know what happens when we get there? And I know as a doctor, he has to give me warts and all. But I was like, and he was like, do you know anything about this disease? And I was like, no. I was like, I haven't Googled it. Like, I have Googled it to be like, what does this mean?
Yeah.
I was like, but I don't think it's helpful for me to know every terrible
the
thing
ins
about
and
it.
Outs, yeah.
And I was like, because I'm not necessarily, I'm in stage one of kidney failure, right?
Did
so it's like.
Did he say something bad?
No, he just was like, I said, will I end up on dialysis? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. Whereas I kind of had it in my brain that I probably wouldn't get there. Do you know what I mean? No, he was like, you might die before that because you could be 18.
So, oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah,
okay.
It wasn't
thank
like
you for ending that sentence like
no.
that because I didn't know where that was going.
I was like, can I get a kidney transplant? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, I didn't think I could. And he was like, no, you can. He was like, but you're like, you know.
That's not even.
Yeah, he was like, that's not where
you're
anywhere
at.
Near where we're at. And I was like, okay. So wasn't that, the appointment was really positive. And he was like, it's all of your bloods are, he didn't do my bloods, but he was like, your urine is strong, good, your bloods from
strong
the-
piss.
Like, whoa, the
she's
smell
got
that of that
blood piss.
All of that was really positive, but it was just the end of it was kind of like, oh, okay.
he just
went into it.
Okay.
His name was, yeah, like, and I was like,
was there a need?
And I, no, I don't
think
like
there was
so.
No need for that.
And then he was like,
Did you feel upset when you left? Like, were you a bit upset or?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't. I was just like, I didn't really want to think about that today. Do you
yeah,
know what I mean?
Of course.
I
didn't want to be like, I don't want to have this.
Normally I come into the kidney clinic and they're like, everything's grand.
Get out.
Yeah, off you pop.
Clearly but he was one of these dudes that was just
them,
like, I want to talk
about
this.
Yeah, some of them can be like, I've had ones before when they meet me for the first time. Because I did say to him, I've never met you before.
Yeah.
And I've met most of them. Do you know what I mean? And he was like, yeah. And he was, then he started to talk about my disease.
Okay.
And he was like, do you know what your disease is? Do you know what IgA is? And I was like.
So he wanted to be, he was into, he was
yeah.
interested
and
in
I was like,
this.
No.
Okay.
And then he was talking to me about like the immunosuppressant treatment and all. Anyway, it was like a whole thing. And it wasn't that like, I was like, oh, like I'm dying. It was just like, oh.
Somebody
I
has
didn't
said
want
a
to
thing
think about
that,
that
I didn't want to think about.
Yeah, I was like, I get that, like, I'm trying my best to, like, stop getting there rapidly. But I was like...
But, like, you're doing so well. And every time you go, they're like, there's no progression.
Yeah, yeah, no, he was just like, the only reason I'm back after 3 months is because the last 3 months ago they prescribed me Ozempic and I didn't take it.
Did he say anything about that?
He was like, why didn't you take it? And I was like, it just makes me miserable. And he was like, what do you mean? And I was like, I was like, when 3 months ago I wasn't in therapy and I wasn't going to the gym, I was like, but, and I said, it just makes me like I've no drive. I was like, that's the only way I can describe it. And he was like, I haven't heard that one. And,
well, that's funny, doctor, because that's one of the main ones.
And then he was like, he said, obviously, he was like, one of the side effects is that people lose weight. He was like, but you're not on the dose for losing weight. He was like, you're not on, he was like, we are not like gradually increasing it. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, he said, it's particularly to stop the protein in your urine.
Yeah.
In your kidney.
In your kidney.
He was like, he's like, do you think you might want to try it again? And now that you're doing these two other things, you think that might, because he was like, to stop, and I think that's why he went into like the end of it.
Yeah.
Because he was like, it's not to make you lose weight.
Yeah.
He was like, that's not what we're trying to get to. He was like, there is a study that shows that it helps with reduce the protein leak. It's called a protein leak.
Yeah.
And he was like, that's the big problem in your kidneys.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. So he was like, do you want to try it? And I was like, listen, prescribe it. And I'll see how I go. I was like, but I don't want to go on, like, I don't want to be on a thousand, it's like 0.1000 milligrams. I was like, yeah. And I don't want to be miserable and all the rest. And he was like, okay, so that's the only reason I'm back. Whereas previous, it was like 6 months, right? It was like 6 months.
Oh, yeah, it was. You're yeah. right. Yeah,
but
yeah,
the only
yeah.
reason I was back the 3 months is because he was like, let's try the Ozempic. And then I tried it and I was like, nope.
Nope.
It's €130. I'm never getting back. And I've taken it once.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, it's, but yeah, I don't like that he had to say that thing at the end of the conversation to you.
I know, but like, it's just a part of the.
I know it is, but at the same time,
the whole point of me
I'm
telling
like,
you all of that is the reason I went to my parents is because there was a tiny moment of me that wanted comfort. Do you know what I mean? I wanted the reason.
You want to see your mom and dad?
Because normally I would just go and know, be like, I can't stay here for too long because it will affect my mental health and it will make.
But you
my
wanted to see your
spike.
Mom and dad.
But I was like, I'll go in. And then even when I was in there, they were like, do you want a cup of tea? And in my head, I was like, I'm fucking self-harming here.
Yeah.
Like, that's all that's happening.
This is fucking me up.
Yeah, like, I know that I'm in this. And
but you know what? Sometimes I have days where I'm like, I just want my mom.
Yeah, yeah, it's normal.
I just want to talk to my mom. And then I talk to my mom and go, this is much worse now.
Yeah. Colin's going to listen to this and be like, I have none of these problems. I love my
mother. I love my parents.
I love my mom.
I love my... He said to me, Colin went to music therapy. This is so funny. And I was like, how's therapy going? He's grand. I have no problems. All right. Okay. But yeah, like, it is that thing. Every child, it's natural for a child, especially to want their mother.
Yeah.
That's natural. Like, yeah. Lily wants you.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
I just was like...
That's fucking heartbreaking. Like, that's fucking heartbreaking to me. Like, the fact that you went over there being like, I want comfort. And instead your heart was going to explode. like you were literally like, I said not a horrible thing in the doctors, but I had to listen to a doctor explain something about this disease that is quite terrifying.
Yeah. But I don't think like my sister's probably the only person that comprehended when I got sick. Like,
yeah, Michaela was very much like,
where,
yeah,
because my sister's terrified that one of us is going to die
yeah,
for her.
Yeah, I know.
So I think that set that off. But like, my mother is of the impression that like turmeric will solve this problem. Do you know what I mean? And my dad is oblivion. Like, my dad is like, I don't want you to be.
I think your dad's afraid as well. I think
well, my dad is not,
like,
if I was to like diagnose my dad and not a therapist, he's just a massive avoidant.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's all he is.
Yeah.
So he doesn't want to really talk about it. He's like, is everything okay? And what do they
all
say?
He wants to hear is, yes, okay.
Yeah. And he doesn't really want it. And he also,
and I get that.
He can't help.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He can't
that
do
is the other
anything.
Side of it. He can't do anything.
Yeah. So he, like, that is his way of like, dealing with it. My mom's way of dealing with it is to be like insufferable. Like, she is like a fully qualified doctor of the
yeah,
moon
she's,
and
it's like she's trying to be like, if you just do this and do this,
yeah,
I'm like,
and what, you know what I mean? And it's like,
and you're going to a fucking doctor for this. Like, you're
yeah.
going to a qualified professional who has studied kidneys and knows how they work, and then your mum's like, why don't you put an onion up your arse or something? Like, I just but that is so deeply unhelpful.
Yeah.
And I know people who do that think that they're being good, but like, if someone's really, really ill, like really ill with a chronic illness or a condition with an organ in their body, just leave them alone. Don't do that. Like, it's, you're already stressed.
Yeah. It would be different, I think. I would feel differently about that sentence if I wasn't listening to the doctors and doing all of the things.
Exactly.
If I wasn't, like, willing
if you
to...
Weren't if actually I wasn't doing taking the
my... I take
asking.
My medication regularly.
Yeah.
I don't fuck about with anything.
No.
Like, I know that I always say I don't drink, but when I do drink, it's not... I'm not it's drinking to excess.
And it's also rare.
Yeah, like, I'm not, mean? Like, you know...
No, you're doing... When they say to you, hey, do this, you're like, cool.
Yeah, and even with the Ozempic thing, when I was like, I don't really want to try it. But, you know, Graham was like, if they're saying it's for the better that you're hitting and that's what we need to focus on, like, why don't you just, like, try it? So, like, I think I would... Is someone sending me unsolicited medical advice that is like, hey, the moon is...
No.
Go and blow cinnamon in the, out the front door.
Girl.
And then think positive thoughts. And have you... You know, that's when it's really unhelpful. Whereas I think it can be helpful if someone isn't doing the things that they're meant to do to maybe kickstart them and be like, maybe take a little dip into like some... But other,
you know, and that's
area.
All well and good and stuff, but just don't, maybe just don't give unsolicited advice to people who, like, if someone's like, oh, I have a bit of a cold, that's fine.
This episode's a downer.
I don't care. But if someone's like, hey, my kidneys aren't working.
Yeah.
Shut up!
Shut
the fuck up!
Shh.
Like, sorry. Shut up. Like, it's not, like, I have never once, ever tried to be like, hey, why don't you do this? Hey, why don't you do this? Because I'm like, I don't know anything about this or what it is or how it works. I can't fucking know anything about kidneys.
Yeah.
I haven't got a clue.
Yeah.
Like when you told me you got sick, I think I Googled it once and then I was like, I don't see any more of this.
Yeah.
I was like, Sarah Jane will tell me what I need to know when I need to know it.
Yeah.
And I don't talk to you about it a lot because I don't want it to be like a focus on your life either.
No, and so, I don't like, don't get me wrong, in work, if someone at like, you know, sometimes I have the blood pressure monitor on my desk or I might like, if I normally take my medication in work.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what I'm doing, I will take it out my bag.
Yeah.
So people definitely know. And then obviously with my manager, I'd be like, I have to go get my bloods done every
I have to go
do this thing. And I had to do the kidney biopsy as well. So like things like that, but I don't, not that I don't, I do talk about it. But I don't, it's not like an everyday occurrence.
Yeah. Like,
now, recently in work, because my blood pressure has been off, the two men that I spend all my time on work know.
Okay.
And they'll be like, is everything okay? So, like, last night my blood pressure was off because obviously the day before.
Yeah.
So when I came into work this morning, Jamie, who works in the warehouse floor, was like, are you all right?
That's nice.
And I was like, and he
That's
was like,
really nice
yeah, and he was like,
you
are you, like, is your blood pressure okay? I was like, oh, I don't feel great. I didn't sleep very well. And then I was like, and he was like, do you want to just go home? Like, there's nothing here you need to do.
See, that's nice that there's people aware and are like, you know, if there's anything wrong, you can tell us.
Yeah, yeah.
Because obviously there's a lot of people that have these conditions and just don't tell anybody and just suffer in silence.
Yeah.
And we don't want to do that either.
Hmm.
Because martyring yourself is not a good thing.
I do get it, because sometimes you don't want, like...
You don't want to bring it up. I get it.
But
yeah,
also, you don't
want to
be
like...
I just... There's like... And I know this is like... There's just a level of weakness with it. Where I'm like, oh, I don't want to...
I know.
I don't want people to fucking be talking to me about it all the time.
I
don't want to be talking about it all... Are you not sick and tired of hearing me talk about it?
Yeah. I mean, you don't really talk about it, to be honest. Like, you just don't. Like,
I'm sure people listen to this podcast.
No, but you don't.
Think
like,
differently.
You'll talk to me if you're feeling a certain way or if something's upset you about it or... If your blood pressure is high, you'll talk to me about it. But it's not a consistent conversation.
No.
In any capacity that we have. Because it's not, it's just something that's in your body. It's not you. Like, it's just
yeah.
a function.
I think, yeah. I'm not going to talk about anybody else's, but there's someone else in your life that I think is like that, where you're just like, eh, like, also, like, I just have to figure out how to live with it.
Yeah. Yeah, like,
do you
that's
know what
exactly
I mean? It's like,
it,
so.
And then there is that other side of it as well, with the person that we're talking about right now, and she knows who she is, and she better be looking after herself. But the person that I'm talking about has a tendency to be like, I'm grand, when they're not grand.
Yeah.
And I know that that is a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
And I completely understand that, because I do that with mental health. I'm like, everything's fine, but it's all falling apart. And there's like rats climbing the walls and stuff like, but yeah, you have to also be aware that everything is not okay. And it's okay to tell people that not everything is okay. And your friends and family are not going to be mad at you when you're like, I don't feel well.
Yeah.
No one's mad at you. You're not in trouble because your body is doing this, you know?
Mm.
And I always say about you, you have this thing in the back of your head where you think you're in trouble. You're not in trouble about a lot of things.
Yeah.
You immediately click to that. You're like, I'm in trouble. You're not in trouble.
Yeah. These letters I'm writing in my therapy are just me writing like a fucking... It's usually like a solicitor's doctor.
I know. She said to you today, bullet points. I said, Sarah Jane, it's and a
I
letter.
Did, I did say to her when I read it out to her, she said, I said, I know you asked me to write a letter. I said, but I can't. I said, people
You're like
have,
formatting it.
I said, people have, this is in an Excel document. She was like, okay. And she was like, I know, because she was like, write down all of the things in your childhood, every incident. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I just bullet pointed them. So they're like literally dated.
I
nearly put a severity rating.
I swear to God, like, I said, this bitch can't write a letter, because that would mean an awful lot of the time it's stuff like that as well. It's like you're facing it.
Yeah.
Whereas if you kind of take control a little bit, where you're like, this happened and then this happened, yeah, as opposed to being like, this happened and this is how I felt.
Yeah. And at the end of the whole document, I put like,
kind regards. All the best. It's like,
this demonstrates a pattern.
I was like, I knew that's exactly how she wrote that
letter.
This
demonstrates a pattern.
There's a pattern here.
Yeah, it's a bigger pattern.
Regards. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Regards. Like, I know, but it's tough when, like, this isn't your first time where you're properly doing therapy now. So it's a lot of stuff that you have to get used to.
She keeps like, you need to write it on a piece of paper. And I'm like, can I just type it?
Are you typing it?
I type on my phone. I can't write it on a piece of paper.
Yeah, I've done this before and I had to physically write it out.
I did the other thing where it was like the situation, the feeling.
I
wrote that out.
I'm so bad at that. I'm so
is there. That because you can't recognize feeling?
I think it's
or
just,
is it because you're like, I couldn't be arsed?
A lot of it is that, and that's bad because I'm paying this person. And then, like, they give you those things where they're like, write when that happened and then how you felt.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, well, I don't know.
She gave me that, right? And she did not give me any guidance. So I made that an Excel file.
Of course you did. Yeah.
And I literally had, like, I'm not joking.
It's like a full, like, the formula.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
I literally had, like, date, time, situation.
Oh, Sarah Jane. Just write it on a piece of paper.
And she was like, so next week, can you just write them down? She's like, down you're paper. Not, like, you're removing yourself.
Yeah,
the
when
thing.
You physically write it as well, it feels and different.
I
was like, to, okay. To
I do find that tool, that's what helped me at work.
Really?
Yeah, because I was like, oh, you're a fucking idiot.
Okay, that makes sense, though, that
you're
able
when
to
I put
gauge.
It all together, I was like, the fuck, why are you feeling this way about any of this stupid shit?
I know, but also work is a whole other fucking kettle of fish. But, like, I get why your responses are to things the way you... I get why you respond to things the way you do. I think we didn't have similar childhoods, but we did have similar childhoods, like in the way we deal with things. So I understand where it's immediately like, how do I fix it? It's my problem now. I've immediately made this my problem. This is my issue. I still do this. I have been in therapy years and I still do this. My mother is a massive trigger for me. Like when my mom is not feeling well, I'm immediately like, right, this is my problem. So I get it. Like it's hard.
It's really bizarre hearing a stranger tell you that you were neglected.
Dude, using the word neglected, and we'll laugh and joke about that on here. Regularly. Like
she was like, you're
the electricity like, got cut off and we're joking and laughing about it. And then it's like if you take a step back and you go, if someone was saying this about a kid that I know, I'd be like, hey, your parents are shit.
Yeah. Like, it was so weird. She said something to me today and I was like, I said it to you inside. She was like, you're fully conditioned.
Yeah.
She's like, you have been conditioned. She was like, she's like, and then she went to me. She was like, your parents are shit. Like, she's like, you're remarkable. She's like, it's remarkable when you give me even half the things that you're telling me in this. She was like, it's remarkable that you are who you are.
And you're like functioning.
Yeah.
You're functioning. You're a functional human being.
She was like, it's really weird hearing a stranger.
It's like, it's actually horrible to hear. Because as well, I think, maybe not for you, but when I first heard that, I felt immediate guilt.
Yeah.
And this, like, I felt so bad for my mum.
Well, like, I wasn't allowed, same with you, I wasn't allowed, like, I remember telling an uncle that I was worried about the situation at home. And then I remember being like, fuck, I'm going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
And so as soon as the therapist was like, that's abandonment, that's neglect, and that's like, you're traumatized. I was like, don't tell my ma.
immediately you start like being like, oh, well, but don't say to
don't
her.
Don't ever tell
don't
her.
Don't tell her. Like, yeah. And it's crazy because it's like I was, my little brain was being molded by this and I had no control over it.
Yeah.
Anyway, this has been the psychology hour.
Yeah. Welcome to Sarah's Don't Therapy. Yeah,
but it's good. And I'm very glad that you're going to therapy.
I do feel like as much as like this is probably a miserable thing for everybody to listen to, I do feel so much better for going and doing it and sticking with it and doing the work.
I think it's great.
Yeah. And I do feel like there are moments in therapy where I'm like, I can recognize even without the therapy how far I had come.
Yes.
And I had put boundaries in place. And yes, like there are like, it's okay. Sometimes you're going to like, they're not, it's going to be difficult not to fall back into old. But it like, yeah. So I do feel it's super beneficial. As much as I even like when I go in and I know I'm like, when I'm going to read this letter, I'm definitely going to cry. I don't feel like a slog. I don't feel like, oh, I don't come out and be like, oh, I'm so sad. I come out and I'm like, I'm glad I went through that.
Because it's cathartic.
Yeah, I'm glad catharsis. I went through that emotion. Yeah.
It's catharsis. That's the one really good thing about therapy sometimes is those sessions where they're like, now I have come out of therapy sessions and just gone to bed. Like that's happened to me loads of times. But I've also come out of therapy and been like, I can breathe. Like you just feel a weird catharsis.
And I knew yesterday after the situation in my parents' house, I was like, I have therapy tomorrow.
Yeah.
I can talk about this
tomorrow.
You
can talk about it tomorrow.
Like,
but that's great.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I'm giving this woman €90 to listen to me moan. So much money. Yeah.
But honestly, I wish therapy was cheaper and I wish more people had access to it because the amount of people that could benefit from it and live better lives and be happier in themselves is just like exponential. And it's so sad that it's so expensive. The people that need therapy so badly are the people that can't afford it. And a lot of the time, they need therapy because they're living in a world where they can't afford things and it's causing these problems and like it's round and round and round we go.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Colin,
that was psychology hour.
Colin's going to be crying. What happened to these girls?
Colin will not give a fuck. He'd be like, grand, I have no problem.
I can't wait. We're going to get a text message. You poor women.
You poor women. And I love you. I love the bonesy down to the ground. Lord Jesus, bless you. Open your heart. Come into my room. He didn't even come into my room. I was sitting here today reading something on my phone and he just shouts in from the bedroom, Bubby, you've got to make sure you open your heart. I was like, if I get out of this bed. He did not. I came in. He did not stop talking from the second I walked in that door. Random fucking shit. Anyway, Mama, I love you, Collie. I had things to talk about. Now I'm like, I feel bad. I don't want to talk about them.
No, let's talk about them. I want to talk about them.
Also, we just say for housekeeping.
Housekeeping.
Yeah. Hi, we're doing a live show.
Oh, yeah.
Two people came into Craig's job the other day and recognized him from us. And he was like, you going to the live show? And they didn't know there was a live show. So I don't know. I don't know what else to do.
Is Colin cutting it out?
No, he's got an ad and everything. We're doing a live show on the 19th.
Maybe don't listen to podcasts anymore.
Maybe. I don't blame them. We're doing a live show on the 19th of October in the Laughter Lounge. It is 25.
It's a live therapy session.
Live therapy session.
Renata is going to be there. My therapist.
We're
going to
sit down and do a live therapy session. Yeah. We're going to bring a special guest, Sarah's mother.
My mom's. It's going to be like blind date.
Caroline's going to come out.
What's actually going to happen is I'm going to tell a scenario. And then there's going to be three people on the other side of the wall and they have to guess if I'm talking about them. Yeah, and my mum will be like, that never happened.
Caroline will be like, sorry. So who did that to you?
Yeah. When did it happen?
Well, who's that poor decent child?
What do you mean I wore your Adidas bottoms, put a hole in them and didn't tell you about it? And then put them back in.
Trauma. Yeah. But we're doing a live show on the 19th of October in the Laughter Lounge. It is €25 for a ticket. We'll be doing kind of like case-based... The podcast will be case-based. Not podcast. I'm so tired. The live show will be case-based. Collie's going to do his regular stuff. If you want to come, that would be awesome. If you'd like to support us, tickets are €25 on the laughterlounge.ie. Any more housekeeping? Have you anything going on?
Oh, I just would like to say that a number of people messaged me to say thank you to you.
For what?
For
my breakdown.
For the last episode. Well, do you know what? It's good because we're on theme. I broke down this episode.
We're going through it, lads.
You broke down the last episode.
We're going through it, lads. We're going through it.
They were all very like that it really helped them and that they recognized some of the things that you were talking about. And they were also crazy.
Yes.
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 And,
We're all crazy.
They also had files on their phones of photos of items on their body.
Really?
No.
You fucking bitch. I thought people were feeling what I was feeling. No, well, thanks, Sarah Jane.
One person did. did. But they did say thank you very much. God, and they said that you, Rainey was helpful and that they were really
we're all going
happy.
Through it.
But they were actually one of the people was like, I was really glad that she had you there in that moment to talk about it. And I was like, oh, I think I just
made No, I was glad you were here too, because I think I was doing that thing where I wasn't talking about it. And then for some reason, which is not like me, you put a mic in front of me and I'm like, here's all my personal
stuff.
Well,
about 10 seconds before that, I was like, hey, do you have a plan? Are you going to kill yourself?
Oh, yeah.
I was messing.
Because Sarah did her empathy training.
Yeah, and I'm great at it.
She's very good at it.
So good. I said to a man today, get over it.
You know, there's people starving in the world.
You know, I'm going to do therapy later. And the shit I'm going to talk about in there is much worse than this. So shut up moaning.
So yes, please come to our live show. We would really like to see you there. I like the laughter lounge. It seems a little bit uncomfortable, but we'll get through that. And
not for us.
They
have
do nice food, apparently. I've never had the food.
Do they?
Yeah, apparently somebody said that the food is
nice. They've never given us food.
I don't know.
Yeah, Chloe.
Yeah, Chloe. But yeah, so that's that. Colin's going to probably put an ad in here.
Murder Most Irish is coming back to the Laughter Lounge on October 19, 2026 for a night filled with spooky fun.
Expect a wild night of unbelievable Irish true crime, eerie local lore and absolute laugh out loud madness. Costumes welcome, Jenny Glow mandatory.
Tickets are on sale right now and they're selling bloody fast. Grab yours today at laughterlounge.com.
Plus, seasonal performance, sexy costumes, and all-around great humour, good times, fashion and fame with me, Colin!
Get him, Jack!
Ah, jeez, Demon, no need for that. Fuck's sake. Not doing the show now. You mean do it yourselves? Now,
I want to talk about true crime.
True crime?
True crime.
Okay.
Back on theme.
All right.
So, the other day, Netflix released a documentary, and there's another documentary about this, but I'm just, okay. So Netflix did a 3-part documentary about the Idaho murders.
Is that the college ones?
Yes. And they included, it was all, obviously the families were fully included in the friends of these people. So they all agreed to do this. So it's not like they did it without their permission or anything like that. So I feel like I can talk about it. The damage that these online sleuths did to these people.
Why? What happened?
Is beyond what I can even, like, we do a true crime podcast,
yeah,
right? And we'll, like, talk about what we think might have happened. We'll be like, maybe that happened. But we have never sat here and been like, because we can't, because.
But America's fucking crazy, yeah, for that shit.
Like, we can't go, oh, it was definitely him, when we don't know that it was him, because that's, we can't, that we could be sued for
and
that.
And it can create a court case completely fall apart.
It can make everything fall apart. Like, we have times where me and Sarah be like, yeah, okay, well, yeah, you know. Like, but we're not going, well, I think the mother came into the room and that, like, we don't do that because we can't do that. Like, it's not right to do that, A. B, it's illegal because we're creating these narratives around people, human beings, real people that can be damaged from it.
Yeah.
These online sleuths getting online and trying to blame the people that survived that horrific incident that were in the house and being like, well, why didn't they do this? And why didn't they do that? And naming their names and finding their online information and their Facebooks and their Instagrams. And these poor kids whose friends were slaughtered are like absolutely devastated, traumatized for the rest of their lives. And then they have people online accusing them of doing things. Like the ex-boyfriend of one of the girls obviously was interviewed and he was, knew nothing about it. He wasn't even there. Like, but they had people online been like, I think it's him. You think it's him? This case is ongoing. These people are buried cold in the ground and you're making TikTok videos. You're going to these people's homes where they live, driving hundreds of miles to Idaho to like sit outside. What the fuck are you doing? This is brain rot. Like, you know, and obviously true crime is such a huge thing and we've done it for years.
Yeah.
But to not have a boundary in place, to be like, I don't get
Emma,
to
we
fucking
have done,
do that.
Remember that, that fucking lady, she's fucking insane. She is a lawyer. She shows up on Larry, she had showed up on
Larry
King. Oh,
with the hair.
Yeah, she's still going.
Yeah.
She has literally been on TV while like ongoing court cases are happening, being like, it was the dad. And it's like,
what are you doing?
What are you doing? Like, and how is this not, like, as a society in terms of America, like, obviously, don't get me wrong, we have cases that become entertainment fodder when they shouldn't. But there is a line of like journalistic intent that you can't cross here in Ireland because you will be held physically responsible for the failure of a conviction.
Yeah.
For the failure of a case being able to go through. But even when Aisling
Murphy died,
immediately
they were like, media shut out.
Yeah.
Do not talk about this.
Yeah.
Do not make any suggestions or implications towards anybody.
Yeah.
Because this court, this entire thing could fall apart.
Yeah.
Based on what's currently going on.
And then even like we have those two boys that were convicted for killing, what's that lovely girl's
Anna
name?
Anna Kriegel.
Yeah. And there was people, while that was going on, before the case began, there was people that shared the two boys that did it.
Yes, I remember.
And then they were
arrested.
They were arrested and held criminally responsible. So I do think there's like a level of like, and I want to say integrity. And I don't know if that's the right word because it's a very strong word because I think there's a lot of people in Ireland that don't have any integrity. Yeah. But there's a level of like, understanding that you will be held responsible. And you will, like, the Gardaí will come to your house. Yeah,
culturally as a human and community wise, you have a responsibility to let these people have their day in court.
Yeah.
And if anybody is guilty, whatever, but you let these victims be allowed to have the chance to, for somebody to be held responsible. But like these Idaho murders, by the way, I don't understand why he did what he did.
So tell me, give me the case, blow by blow.
There's a house, they were living in a house, it was a 3-story house. Oh my God, I'm trying to remember how many. So 4 people were murdered.
Yeah.
There was 6 people in the house in total. So 3 girls and one guy was murdered. And then there was 2 girls that were in the house that they weren't murdered. They didn't die. So it was like a random night. They had been out. They came home. At 4:00, one of the girls ordered DoorDash. The DoorDash driver came, gave her food. And then obviously had they timed and pieced things together. From when she got her food from the DoorDash, within 20 minutes, those 4 people were dead.
And was she one of them?
She was one of them. So they, 2 girls who were living in the house, they were upstairs. They heard a noise and they heard a man's voice. And they were like, I don't recognize that voice. And one of the girls texted the other girl and was like, did you hear that? And she was like, yeah, come to my bedroom. So she ran into her bedroom and they locked the door. And then obviously Brian Koberger, who's the scumbag that did it, came in, stabbed 2 of the girls, stabbed another girl, and stabbed the boy. Like, slaughtered them. Within 20 minutes, that is how frenzied that was. So the 2 girls were obviously upstairs, heard all this, were fucking terrified, didn't know what to do. Eventually called 911, blah, 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 everything happened.
And so did they know someone was being murdered?
I think, it's weird when I was watching it, even at that, I think they knew something really bad was happening, but they were
terrified.
And people were like, oh, well, why didn't they? I'm sorry we all don't react how you think you should react. I was in bed here the other night. This is the truth. Jack knocked something down in there and I said, well, this is it. And I just lay there. I didn't even move. I just lay there. Like, the noise was so loud that I thought somebody was coming in through the balcony door. I just thought, I didn't even move.
What's that part of your brain? Is it called the amygdala?
Whatever the fuck it's called. It wasn't working.
No, it's not supposed. All it's supposed to do like is fight, be like fight,
fawn.
Well, no, it's just like survive.
Yeah,
right. So it's not even. Like, it's not even flight. Like, people do that thing where they're like, "It's your flight or fright."
This thing is just like, stay alive, you dumb bitch.
It's like that thing when people are like, you know, if you're being sexually assaulted,
yeah.
And there's a lot of like survivors who are like, I just lay there.
I just lay there, right? Or I did what he asked because it was easier for me to kill.
Right, and then you get people who are like, well, I never would, and I'd fight back.
You don't know that.
That's not how your dinosaur. That's not how your shark brain reacts.
Your shark brain goes, stay alive.
Hey, you need to do everything in this situation to stay alive, and that may mean that you just lie there.
That may be, but that's what I did.
Yeah,
and so it was just like, I know that's not the same as what was happening to them, but just to watch people these online. Salutes and we vomit in my mouth to watch them pull these 2 girls asunder
when they already have survivor's guilt.
They already
have
survivor's guilt. They're traumatized beyond what you could even fucking recognize, and now 4 of their friends are dead.
Yeah,
stabbed to death in the middle of the night at 4:30 a.m. So like the way they found him as well, so they were trying to figure out, they obviously didn't have a name, and the town was freaking the fuck out, panicking. And the alarm, so they went to the university, the police went to the university, and the police were like, there's after been a murder in this address. And at that point, the families of these kids didn't know. And a lot of these families are living in the area. And the a university sent out a text message being like, there's after been a murder, 4 people are dead on the street.
Why?
Because they were like, stay away from it. Stay away from the street. Don't go up there. We don't know if there's somebody still actively doing something.
Oh.
So the families and friends of these people got this text message. And we're like, what the fuck? Before
they knew.
They knew. So there's a lot of things that were done incorrectly, but whatever. Anyway, but the way they found him was they got cameras from all around the area, and they were able to see his car. It was like a white, he was driving a white car. So they were able to see him driving around. And before he did it, he drove around for 2 hours just around in the circle.
And did he pick them?
Round and round. Yes.
He had
been previously scoping the area, because when they checked his cell phone, they noticed that it was pinging over the last couple of months to the, where this area was. So he had obviously honed in on these. Now, these people did not know this man at all. Like, they had no idea who he was. But he'd obviously seen these people, and it was a house with a lot of girls. So he was like, he circled and circled and circled. And there was, what he did is he stabbed him to death. Like, but he left the sheath of the knife that he used in the house. But there was no fingerprints or anything, but they found DNA on the sheath. The DNA didn't match anything because he obviously wasn't in the database. So what they did instead is they ran it through 23andMe. Which, by the way, if you've committed a crime,
don't give your...
Now, he didn't commit a crime, but, like, you know, if you heard, think maybe somebody in your family did, don't give your information unless you want to get them caught.
Yeah.
They ran it and they got DNA match, and they were like, the only person that this could be would be the father of a man who did this. And they found the father, and then they found Brian Coburger. So that's how they found him. So these, like, that's how they found him, purely based on DNA. Like, that's how they did it. This motherfucker, like, they arrested him. Oh my God, the worst part about the whole thing where I was like, so they went through his phone, and he was smart. He wiped a lot of shit, and he wiped a lot of shit off his laptop. But the FBI investigators were like, one of the worst, the dumbest things they can do is wipe their
iCloud
phones and their thing, because that immediately twigs, like, what are you wiping? They think they're being smart, being like, they won't find anything, but they're like, why isn't there anything on this? You're clearly covering your traces. But anyway, he murdered those 4 people in cold blood, those poor people, and they were going through his phone, and they found a picture at half an hour after he'd done it of him taking a selfie with his thumb up smiling.
What?
Just took a picture of himself and, like, good job.
Was it going? Like, was
no,
it...
he just put it on his phone, just for himself. He didn't have any friends. He had nobody. He was, like, completely, like, as cliched as this sounds, he was a fucking loner, and he was an arsehole. And he was a TA, and really smart, but he was a TA in a university, and they fired him because he hated women. Hated them. Like, he would make girls cry in the class. Like, they had complaints about him mansplaining and him, like, talking to women like they were pieces of dirt and, like, just being horrible. So they got to the point where they're like, there's been too many complaints. And nothing that will go to the police. They're like, there's been too many complaints about him. We have to get rid of him. So they got rid of him. But that selfie, I was like, this is a genuine psychopath.
Yeah.
And, like, the fact that he refused, he took a plea bargain. And that meant the case didn't go to court. So nobody could say to him, why did you do this?
Yeah.
And the family were just like, we don't understand. Like, I personally don't understand. And then I kind of step back and I go, well, I do understand, because men, unfortunately, hate women.
Yeah.
They hate women. And, like, I don't even think he wanted to kill that boy.
He was just there.
He was just there. He wanted to kill all the girls. But that boy was in the house and obviously got in the way. And it was one of the girls that he murdered, and the people that are doing, obviously, looking after her body, doing the autopsy, said she fought tooth and nail. She had so many defensive wounds to try and stop him, but she couldn't, obviously, because he wasn't, like, he was a tall dude, like, he was built. But when somebody is that frenzied, Like, they want you dead. Yeah. They don't care how they're doing it. They want you dead. But like, they found no other DNA in the house from him. Nothing. So not a fingerprint. Nothing. The only way they got it is he left the sheet behind.
Was he fully like covered?
Covered. He must have been. Because they got nothing else. He'd left the sheath, and he obviously didn't mean to leave the sheath, but, you know, he thought he... And he was a criminal psychology student, so he was studying criminology. And people found his social media accounts, but they were very... There was nothing on them, really. But there was one person found his Reddit, got police found his Reddit, and he had done this questionnaire for criminals, so he was going to send it out to prisons. And the questions. Now, I when I was reading it, I know people were like, that's really creepy and weird. But I'm like, it's not. Because these questions, if you've ever read the book that Holden's character is based on in...
Happy Birthday, Bitches.
Mindhunter. if you've ever read his book, the questions that he was asking were quite similar to Holden's questions of how he was understanding psychopaths and serial killers, you know, and the questions were like, and why did you do it? And how did you feel after you did it? And, you know, would you do it again if you could? And all these questions. And people were like, oh, that's really weird. I'm like, it's not, it's a criminology student.
Yeah.
But now obviously seeing that he is fucking crazy,
yeah,
you can understand that. But like, people were like, I think he was gathering information on how to commit the perfect crime.
He probably was.
Probably was, because the fact that he left no DNA, and if he had not left that sheath, I don't think they would have found him.
He would have done it again.
He would have. Oh, this was like, he would have 100. Like, the fact that he went home and took a selfie with his thumbs up smiling a half an hour after he slaughtered 4 people in a house. Kids, yeah. 20-year-olds. 20-year-olds. And like, when their friends were talking about them, I was like, what the fuck? Like, they are just devastated. Like, they're beyond devastated.
I know we say it all the time because we talk about it, but like, I don't understand how someone...
Sorry, I just talked a lot there. Sorry, go on.
That's okay. How people get over someone being murdered.
I don't understand it. I don't get it. Like, I'll never... The amount of cases that we've talked about and the amount of stuff that we've done, and I hope people know this. Like, I've never, I don't think you wouldn't have either, ever done a case where I sat here going, right, okay, well, like...
That's why we stopped doing it.
Because that shit is like...
Because that shit eats at you.
And I'm sitting here going, I don't understand. I don't... one of the cases that sticks with me, and one of the reasons that I found it really hard to do this podcast, I apologize, I cannot remember this lovely girl's name, but that case where that man beat her so bad that she was choking on her own teeth,
yeah,
and her mother had to pull the teeth out of her throat. Like, I don't understand how, as a parent as well, how do you wake up every day and go to work?
Yeah.
How do you go to work and someone's like, that email's wrong, and you're like, well, I had to dig my child's teeth out of her mouth, she choked on her own blood.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck about your job.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They're like...
Yeah, no, I'm just like, when we were like, yeah, there were so many things that we learned. And I'm not saying that because I don't think I'm going to do a case, but there's a current ongoing case happening in the States that I want to talk about next week.
Okay.
So it's not like we're never going to do a case again.
No, of course not.
But it just is like, yeah, you go home and you're like, or you're reading it and you're doing the, like, I don't understand how these families continue. And I'm always like encouraged by the fact that they continue and encouraged by how graceful some of them are. But I don't think I have that grace in me.
I don't think so either, Sarah.
I know Michaela doesn't.
Like, but I just, these people, that's the worst thing, because it's like, people that, maybe they don't mean to do it, so, and there is a tendency when someone is grieving for people to kind of be like, okay, well, that's enough grief now. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Oh, they're still sad. Oh, she's still upset about that. She's still crying. People can be very callous about grief. And it really fucking bothers me. And that's just, even the Idaho murderers, like, these kids are 20 years old. They're in college. They're doing college things. They're being kids. And then overnight,
they're gone.
And their family and friends are left with this, like, gaping fucking hole where you're like, how do I, and to go to court and see him sat there, and when I tell you, no emotion, did not give a fuck. Like, people were giving victim impact statements and he was just like, nothing.
That's crazy. And then, isn't the human brain
insane?
Like
to drive around for 2 hours, and people were like, oh, maybe he was thinking about not doing it. I said, no, he was making sure there was nobody else around.
Yeah.
That motherfucker was doing that. Regardless.
Yeah. And was there no, like, previous convictions?
Nothing. Just him being
really mean.
Really awful to women. They had one of the girls that was in a class with him, and she was like, he just did not like the girls in his class, and he would make them feel really uncomfortable, and he would just talk down to them and treat them like they were stupid. And, you know, obviously people tried to kind of be like, was he an incel? And there was no evidence of that whatsoever. Like, his online presence wasn't incel-y. But I don't know, man. And then he had a heroin addiction previously, which I wasn't aware of. And then they talked about that. He had issues with his weight, and then he became obsessed with his weight, and then he started doing heroin to lose weight.
Oh.
Yeah.
Logical.
As you do.
A logical
thing. And then he obviously just was like, oh, hey, I'm a psychopath. I'm going to go kill 4 people. And specifically these 3 young blonde girls who I hate, even though I've never met them and I don't know them from Adam, because I just want to do this. And obviously he 100% what you said, he would have done it again.
Mm.
But anyway, I would suggest watching the documentaries just because the families are involved and they wanted to talk about it and they wanted to get this out there, and that's absolutely fine. But, you know, the reason he didn't get the death penalty is because he took full responsibility and pled guilty.
So is he going to be in prison for
the rest of his life? Yeah.
So he'll die in prison.
He'll die in prison. Yeah. He will be in prison forever. Like, he will never get out. He will die in prison. And so the families were upset about that because they were like, so he just gets to live and then my daughter doesn't get to open her eyes in the morning. And it's just a mess.
Do you believe in the death penalty?
No, I don't. And here's why. And it's nothing to do with the fact that I don't, when I always say, all rapists should die. It's nothing to do with that. I don't believe in state-sanctioned murder. And that's just the way I am. I don't believe in the police being allowed to shoot a person in the head who stole a candy bar from a shop. So if I don't believe in that, I don't believe in you putting a man in a chair or a woman in a chair and putting a lethal injection in. What are we gaining? That person is never leaving prison. It is an awful lot of, like, look what we can do. And it's, I don't know, people are going to disagree with me. And I know I've had instances where I'm like, just take that cunt out.
Yeah.
Like, I have instances of that, and I know I do. But realistically, maybe I would feel different if it was my family member or my friend. Maybe that my opinion of that would change.
Mm.
But I don't believe in state-sanctioned murder. I just don't. I never have and I never will.
Mm.
We already give too much power to political bodies to control us when we're alive. I don't think we should be giving them control of when we die. Just my opinion. Don't shoot me. Don't state sanction murder me. Just what I'm saying.
Anyway, this is the end of the podcast.
Everybody, well, that was a very... These last 2 episodes have been quite intense.
But the last episode, there was lots of funny bits in it.
But
I believe.
Don't Kill Yourself, Heat Rising Rage 2 is coming. I think we all need to stay alive. One of the characters currently looks like he's pregnant, and I think I'm into that. So Don't Kill Yourself.
I'm going to therapy next week, so be prepared.
Sarah's doing therapy.
I gotta write a letter to my mom.
My boobs are cheap.
Can't be an Excel spreadsheet.
We gotta write it physically, handwrite the fucking letter, dude. And yeah, come to our live show on the 19th of October. That's it.
Do you want to know my new exercise? Because I can't write the letter to my mom.
Go.
I have to write the letter to my
self.
Younger self.
Younger self.
Have you done that?
Well, I've done the younger self stuff, yeah.
Okay, so be prepared. Next week's going to be difficult.
One time, my therapist is like... I was doing that, like, giving yourself thing. And she was like, I'm going to say that to your yourself. And I said, yeah! She was a stupid bitch! I would say it to her. Fucking idiot! I didn't like her, I don't like me, this is not working! I couldn't stand that bitch! You know, most people would be like, oh, I was not. I was like, yeah, no, I would say to her.
What did you
16
say?
Year old Emma, shut the fuck up! Eat a sandwich, why are you crying? So kind of backfired on her. No, I would say that to her. But anyway, we're back next
week. Run away!
We're back next week. We shall see you then. Go to therapy.
Go to therapy.
Colin!
10 and a quarter past 11 when I'm waking at work. Waking at work. It's a close approximation to a HR violation when I'm waking at work. Waking at work. Work.